Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We are back, baby. We are back. And like the last 2 weeks, we are back and better than ever, because that's right, the Lions, these words are coming out of my mouth right now, are playing this Sunday in the NFC Championship game in San Francisco. This is wild. This is insane. This is why we do the podcast, for this moment right here. And I know all the Lions fans listening are as jacked up as we are, reading every little bit of content they can during the week just to, you know, keep their mind on it. Oh, it's so exciting. But before we dive into everything involving this game this week, let's get to introduce the Blue Kool-Aid crew that is here. So I'm Big Z. Let's get to the rest. We got Bob.
Hello there.
Red Dog.
Yo.
And Connor.
Hello.
So, and our producer, Kid J, might chime in here at some points as well. And he is sitting on in the background. But anyways, so the Lions will be playing this Sunday at 5:30 Central. They get the night game, so kind of playing into that prime time slot that they love so much throughout the year. But they're not getting a lot of love from the public at large in terms of their chances of winning this game, because they are 7-point underdogs traveling into San Francisco. The over under is 50.5. And get this too, the weather. You know, San Francisco played in like a rainstorm last week. It affected the ball and stuff. Brock Purdy looked terrible. He barely can hold on to the ball. He must have tiny hands. They called Goff tiny hands. Purdy looked like he had tiny hands last week.
His hands sure look purdy.
The weather this Sunday looks like 70 degrees, partly cloudy, and only 3 mile per hour winds. You can't ask for much better weather than that.
That's awesome.
Anywhere in the country. So that, at least, is very positive development.
Yeah, and it's Jared Goff's home turf over there.
Yeah, how about that? I had that for later, but I mean, it is. I always thought Jared Goff is from Southern California. I don't know why. This is personality. Yeah. We lost Connor for a second, but yes. I mean, he always gives off kind of like the Southern California attitude. I guess he lives there in the off season too. Obviously, his time in LA just drilled him in mind that he's from there. But no, he's from San Francisco area. So great, he's used to this kind of climate, these conditions. 70 degrees and sunny. What conditions to get used to?
Yeah.
But anyways, really cool. I think for this could be, this is like, you know, a full circle moment for Goff in a lot of ways. Would you say?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and he's played there before, so, you know, it's not like his first time. He played there with LA, with the Rams and stuff, so he knows the place well. So I'm excited for him, man. It's
going to be awesome. Red Dog, how you feeling about Goff?
Oh, I feel great about Goff. Like, honestly, like, all that stuff, like I don't even think it matters. I think it matters even less than, like, what the Rams situation meant to him. I think it'll be nice to go back to, like, being played in California, but I think he's just so locked in right now to the goal that all this extraneous, like, narrative stuff is like fodder for us to keep us busy. But, like,
of course,
JG's locked in, baby, and I don't think it's gonna matter one way or another. You could play him in a snowstorm right now and he'd just be ready to go.
Well, I'm glad they're not playing in a snowstorm. It would concern me a little more based on this history. But 70 degrees and sunny, I would definitely take. Grass, the Lions, you know, obviously the last couple home games, turf, switching to grass, that'll be interesting. But nonetheless, Goff has that confidence because his offensive line has been dominant in the first two games here, giving him a clean pocket to throw out of. There is a little hiccup in that this week with Jonah Jackson looking like he'll be out for certain. And it looks like he would return to the Super Bowl if the Lions were to win this game. That's not 100% certain, but likely.
What do you mean if they win the game? I thought they're winning this game.
when they get in the game. Sorry. Thank you, Bob. Thank you. That's what, you know, that's what
get the Kool-Aid. Get the Kool-Aid out.
with his knee injury, and the other news is, at least as far as people being out, is Brock Wright broke his forearm. You know, beastly catch, great blocker. It sucks to lose him after him being out for such a long time, finally coming back,
making a big play like he does.
Yeah, exactly. And so they signed Zach Ertz off the couch. Basically, the Lions tight end coach coached Zach Ertz in Arizona. There's that familiarity there. I'm not sure how much they can get him up to speed in this short of time, but better than anything else you'll find on the open market right now, tight end wise, I'd imagine.
I think it's so cool that we're like that team that's like bringing on like the like guys past their prime, but sitting around waiting to get on like Super Bowl contender teams. Like, you know, like we got figured. It's like Zach Ertz is a pretty big name to just be kind of casually signing. In the middle of the playoffs. I know he's
doesn't get more
older,
Super Bowl
like,
contendery than one win away from Bowl. So yeah.
It's just so cool. But like, I think it's a nice add to, you know, for a place where we've just been getting beat up lately.
Right. Yeah. With James Mitchell out too. We do have Anthony Firkser, who was on our practice squad. It'll be interesting to see if they bring him up, and Ertz is just like a super insurance policy. Unclear what they're going to do there, but it sucks too losing Brock Wright because the Packers were really good out of 12 personnel. Well, 12. Never mind. That's one tight end. Never mind. We can get about. We'll get into it later. 12 personnel is one tight end, two running backs. But anyways. So scratch that. But the other injuries. It's really funny to read the injury report. Because Frank Ragnow is listed ankle, toe, back, and knee.
Yeah.
He's just, he didn't practice. Man. I think he just is staying he's switching between hot
hyperbaric
and cold baths,
chamber
all week. Or he's staying in the cryo chamber all week until it's time for Sunday.
He said he was feeling better, though. I mean, with what his treatment's doing. So that's good.
Such a
we know he'll be out there no matter what. That's for sure.
Oh, yeah. He's a badass, man.
I love that, like, our guys are getting these legends built now. Like, these guys are going to be forever remembered, like, as, like, one of the greatest Lions teams already at this point, regardless of what comes going forward. This is already one of the greatest Lions teams, period. And these guys are just such warriors and badasses dedicated to the cause. I really think they can get this whole thing done. Oh, I'm just so excited.
I know. Earlier today, I was watching NFL Network during the day, and they had like live press conference with Jared Goff, like on the, you know, it's pretty awesome that the Lions are getting all this. And I know Campbell was commenting, but like, he's like, usually there's like 20 reporters in here. Now there's like, I don't know how many, you know, cause I couldn't see the room, but he was saying there was a ton in there from everywhere. So it's pretty cool.
That's incredible. I love it.
And it's fun to listen to them. It's entertaining to listen to these reporters try to like crack the nut that is like all these players and like trying to get them to start like, you know, like thinking and daydreaming about all the stuff going on. The guys are just doing such a great job of just staying to the point, staying to the task at hand. Like, these guys all know what they want and they're not going to get distracted by all the hoop-de-la.
Oh, definitely. Their mind was already on San Francisco right after the game, at least in all their comments. They didn't say, like, we've reached the bottom top or anything of that nature. They're, like, two more from the Super, like, they've had their eye on it. And they're happy for the win, but, like, still focused, you know.
I see no reason why we can't get it.
Right, exactly. This is a very vulnerable San Francisco team. Did you guys watch the game last week, Green Bay, San Francisco? San Francisco was extremely lucky to come away with a win in that game. They probably were not the better team in that game either.
No, I don't think so. It was funny seeing Brock Purdy try to dry his hands in the middle of his
hardly ever seen that before.
That was kind of funny.
Road Dog, did you see that? He like took a shotgun snap, went in like his back, seven step drop or whatever, and then in the middle of that seven step drop, wiped his hand on his pants and put his hand back on the ball.
Oh wow!
it wasn't working too well for him. He looked horrible last week, so I don't know if that was the rain or what. He if you could get to him and rattle him, this is not a great. I was getting arguments with people about like Goff being better than Purdy during the year. I don't think it's any question. Purdy was in the MVP conversation, which I thought was silly too. I don't know what you guys think about that.
And they're comparing him to Joe Montana with some of the stats, and like, come on, that's like a little overselling it.
I think Goff is clearly a better quarterback. I think Purdy's a good quarterback, but I think Goff, just on accolades alone, has proven to be a consistently top pro. I mean, even before he came to the Lions, went to a Super Bowl. This dude's been around doing this at a high level for a long time. So Purdy's got a lot more to prove than Goff does.
Yeah, I would say that's accurate. Being the knock on, or at least a lot of people say Purdy, and I probably tend to agree to it to a certain extent, is that Purdy's more of a product of the system that he's in and the guys around him than him elevating others around him necessarily. Like a Mahomes, for instance, you know,
system quarterback,
what's that, Connor?
I said a system quarterback.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. As a system quarterback, that's slightly better than like a Jimmy Garoppolo type in the same system. But a little more mobile. He's a decently mobile quarterback. If he sees a lane, he will take it. So Lions will to be cognizant of that. But where I really see, and I'm curious your guys' thoughts, the Lions exposing the San Francisco team is on the right side of the line. I don't see Hutch lining up against Trent Williams more than like once or twice maybe throughout this game, who's their left tackle. I see Hutch line up in that right tackle trying to expose their weakness. That's my thought personally, at least. I think that San Francisco is going to double team the hell out of him too when he lines up on that right side. And it's going to be down to the Lions secondary to sit in their coverages, or if we stay with our aggressive nature, the blitzers to get home like they have been the first two games.
I don't know.
You disagree?
I think it'll be a little bit like what we saw against the Cowboys, where I think he's gonna get purposely lined up against their best guy and to see who wins. Like he took care of Tyrone Smith in that game. Granted, Tyrone's a little bit older, probably maybe a little past his prime than.
Did he face Tyron Smith most of the time? He was lining up on the right side most of the time.
I don't know about most of the time, but he blew by him for some sacks in that game. So, I mean, I don't know.
I know he took care of him.
I got two sacks
that game against the right tackle.
The nice thing about that, though, was that when you got the elite guy, you give him more of a one-on-one opportunity, which means that if Hutch can win, like you're not going to double team because you're not scared because you think I got the best guy. And I'm going to let Trent do his thing. I'm not going to get all scared of, Hutchinson. I think that's the thing when you play the top teams is you get a little more of that one-on-one matchup sometimes. And I think he'll get some opportunities there. It's going to be a tough matchup, though. He's going to have to win.
Yeah, I suppose. I think the way the Lions have been blitzing, though, if the Hutch can take on two guys on the outside, that's going to free up a blitzer on one edge or the other.
You'll see him all over, I think, Z. I think you're right.
And Hutch is just playing at an elite level these days.
Yeah.
You know,
he's ascending.
Late in the season through the playoffs, he's just insane how good he is.
He's really figuring it out, man. He's getting so good.
I feel like they've been getting a little better at disguising their blitzes, too. I mean, it's not like Minnesota level, but like
I think it's better than Minnesota. Well, maybe it's just our personnel because we're blitzing guys like Branch and Iffy. But, we're, like, getting home. We're surprising teams. Like, it's pretty wild. Maybe I'm just ignorant of Minnesota's ability, but I might be a bit of a homer here, Connor. But
yeah, you notoriously always sell the Lions short.
Yeah.
You definitely never,
you know,
like, go above.
They got to really earn it with me.
Well, the San Francisco defense is a loaded defense, especially on the defensive front. That's their bread and butter. They're not a blitzing team like, say, the Vikings or anything of that nature. They like to just try to dominate with their up front four and let the secondary do the work. Where they're weakest, we mentioned it in our preview a little bit on Sunday, and reacting to the game and looking forward to this game, is that the cornerbacks for San Francisco are just mediocre. They're not elite by any means, and where they can be beat especially is deep. Now, I believe they're like top 10 in giving up explosive plays down the field on the outside. In the middle of the field is where they are dominant. I believe they're number one defense against the pass in the middle of the field, which is where the Lions have been thriving all season, especially with the likes of Sam Laporta, Mon-Ra. So that's a really interesting strength on strength. Matchup right there, because Javon Greenlaw over the middle is an absolute monster, and I believe they're number one against the run too, San Francisco. So another great strength on strength matchup. That's why it really sucks Jonah Jackson's on in. We're not at full strength from the offensive line standpoint, but you know, those are some things. What's that, Road Dog?
I said Aody played pretty good. If that's how you say his name, Aody, right? Aody. I don't know.
But Bob, what do you think about the San Francisco D going against our offense?
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely a great defense. I mean, they have, like you say, they don't have to do a lot of blitzing because they have such a good line. But our offense is also amazing. So I like the matchup for us and beat those quarterbacks. I wish Goff is a little better in the deep ball, but maybe he'll break it out this weekend and get that JMO thing going, because that would be nice to get a couple
of plays.
Almost
all season for it.
Yeah.
If there was ever a game for a JMO breakout, it's this one.
Under the bright lights.
I mean, if he does it in the Super Bowl, that'll be okay too.
Yeah, but I think we're wearing the all whites. We're in the all whites this week.
Gotta get there.
Beautiful. Our best unis.
Nice. Yeah.
So, although I like the all blues, but
the all blues and the all whites are both great. So
the blueberries.
Yeah, I think that defense is gonna be a challenge for sure. They're really good defense. They have good linebackers.
Ray Greenlaw and Fred Warner. Did you guys see the end of that? Did you see the end of the game last week? Greenlaw got the pick, and they just needed to fall down to win the game. And he just kept running for like 15 seconds around the field.
Backward,
like 20 yards and forwards 10 yards. If he fumbled, the Packers had a great chance to score. It was really funny to watch. But anyway, sorry, I cut you off.
That was funny though. I was always good to see the Packers lose, you know, and because Love threw that ball, he didn't even need to, but he just did a terrible throw.
Awful throw.
So, but now we have to go to San Francisco. So,
yeah. But Fred Warner, Greenlaw, probably the best linebacker duo right now in the NFL. Javon Kinlaw, Bosa, Nick Bosa, Chase Young, Sebastian Joseph Day. It's a loaded defense front. Eric Armstead, I didn't even mention. Randy Gregory, who they got from the Broncos this year, former All-Pro. So they have a lot of guys they can throw from the D-line. And a lot of people... It's interesting, too, because a lot of people thought the Lions should go after Chase Young at the trade deadline. The Lions decide not to, and San Francisco picks him up. Just a little interesting there.
Houston's going to make him show why that didn't matter.
Did he get a snap in? No, he wasn't active last week.
I don't think he played last week.
No, he wasn't.
I'd be interested to see if he plays this week.
I hope so. That'd be awesome.
We need some other edge rusher.
Especially since we've kind of kept him on the roster.
The ghost of James Houston could be.
I know Julian O'Quara wasn't doing a ton for us, but if he's at least available to play.
Well, and he was inactive too. He can only activate so many guys, so. But the other thing I want to mention too is where I think the Lions might attack is on the outside the tackles and on outside zone concepts. The San Francisco 49ers are 28th for EPA in the NFL against outside zone runs. So tosses, you know, those stretch plays to the outside. I can see Gibbs feasting on those type of plays to the outside. And I don't know if you guys if you guys remember the play last week. I sent it to you in our text chat. Really cool play design by Ben Johnson and the Lions offense last week, where Sewell was lined up at, you know, his normal position, right tackle, and the Lions block all to the right. Sewell pulls to the left, and they leave the D end unblocked initially. And it looks, and typically you'd see like Sewell pull to the left and block out that D end for a quick trap. Sewell just gets a shoulder on him and then runs right by him. It was like a fake trap, and then Sewell just absolutely blasts the outside cornerback, and it gives Gibbs a 15-yard run. Just a really cool play design you don't see normally, and only something you can run with a guy as athletic as Penei Sewell.
Yeah, they've been using Sewell like an absolute weapon, and it's amazing. I love it.
Yeah.
Dude's so damn athletic. He's like it's freaky. He doesn't, like, it looks like when they make Godzilla, like, sprint on screen, it's, like, uncanny because he's so big, like, yeah. He moves so fast. Man, that side should have moved like that.
I think very quietly
he's our best player.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think, like, that he is.
In a very quiet way.
He'll never
get the buzz St. Brown gets, or
the offensive linemen never do.
Not like those guys.
Yeah. He is our most elite player.
I think you're right, Connor. And I believe PFF gave him a 99.6 run grade for the game. You know, whatever your thoughts are on PFF. Regardless, it was their highest grade ever given out to an offensive lineman in a single game. So,
whoa.
I thought that was interesting, too.
That is interesting.
I believe he was their number one rated tackle on PFF.
Yeah. Well, if it's PFF, it's got to be
good. It's truth. It's gospel.
I watched J.J. Watt on Good Morning Football, and he's like, they're like, oh, the PFF. He's like, don't. What is that? That's not even real stuff, that PFF. He's like, give me a real statistic, you know. So he was not very up on those guys either. So.
I saw that.
Yeah, it's a tempting place to fall into. They have good stats, but they're very unique in their
company. Yeah, according to J.J., they're just kind of made up stats that are meaningless. I don't know.
It's deeper analysis.
Hey, well, one thing before they get, we're talking about our defensive line. One thing I'll say about them, they're not as celebrated as some other lines, but they're playing with real confidence right now, and I think that counts for something when the team's playing together and they're So.
And you know, guys, I think are a bit underrated are like Pascal and Anzarike, who have really been coming on down the stretch. Our second rounders, who we weren't really sure about not too long ago, are suddenly getting lots of playing time. And then, of course, Aleem is a stud.
Yeah.
Do you guys see the one where he's the top-rated D tackle left in the playoffs? According to PFF.
Well, there you go.
So I like PFF for that one, you know. I like that piece of analysis.
I really like it when it puts our stats in our favor.
Yeah.
But he is playing really good.
So we didn't get to elaborate more on the San Francisco offense and the Lions D. You know, obviously Christian McCaffrey is the head honcho and the real engine of this offense for San Francisco. They're going to run a lot of zone blocking concepts. Let Christian McCaffrey kind of read and cut up the middle. That's his bread and butter.
He's good, Ben, but I don't know if he's really the heart of it. Debo Samuel, if you look at them, when they have Samuel, they're like unbeatable. And then when he's out, they're like 9-8. They're like, I mean, over the last few years, they're kind of a 500 team without him.
It's like 8-9 or 9-8.
I think Debo's shoulder is so crucial to this game. And it does not seem like he'll be going.
Right. They're saying it's like 50-50. It sounds like he's going to, at the very least, give it a go in the game.
He's going to play.
Good.
And then we'll
bring him on. I ain't scared.
Jackie Watson to play, because otherwise it'd be an asterisk on the victory as we go to the Super Bowl.
No,
really
suck.
You know, I
don't put that asterisk on me. Don't put that asterisk on me.
These are your words.
Yeah. I never said asterisks. I don't put asterisks.
I think you did in the first game.
That being said, I prefer to take the best shot a team can give and defeat them at their best. And I think this team, our Lions team, can handle that. So I ain't scared of no Debo.
Red Dog's gonna be crying in the corner when we win the Super Bowl because one of the Ravens
Kelsey didn't play
was
a
down.
Game one of the season.
Yeah.
Invalidates all of it.
Only just wasn't an asterisk.
What is Jonah Jackson nothing? I mean, if he's not playing, I mean, you don't count. It's only the opponents. Okay.
No, it only counts for the opponents.
I see how that works.
What, that I want everyone to be healthy and playing for both teams?
You want all the opponents healthy.
Yeah, Lions... but I want our guys to stay unhealthy. You're right. You got me.
Well, so I took Christian McCaffrey to win MVP, and I thought he should have won it. He's not going to. But
he should win.
He had just, if you want to know about his year, 1,450 yards on the ground, easily led the NFL. Like, there wasn't even a close second. It was like 250 yards difference between him and the next closest running back. And then receiving 564 yards and 7 touchdowns. So 21 touchdowns in total. 2 last week against Green Bay. So he's had 23 touchdowns on the year. And he hasn't missed a snap in the past. He's been injured, but McCaffrey, a beast. The Lions, their strength on defense is the run game. I am fascinated to see the Lions try to shut down McCaffrey. If they do that, you got to love their chances putting it in Brock Purdy's hands. Do you guys agree?
Oh, yeah. They'll get it done.
Yeah.
Totally. I really like CD Deuce to get another pick and get in Brock.
Did he say any trash about Brock Purdy this week?
I don't think so. Didn't he trash Deebo Samuel like before the year or one of them?
I did see some sort of Instagram like live video that he had. I don't know if that was recent or maybe this is what you're referring to. Maybe it was in the offseason where he's like, Deebo, like, he wasn't making any sense. It was saying something bad about Deebo.
Was that when he played for the Eagles? You were saying that they were going to play in the playoffs? I thought.
I'm not sure. I saw the video scrolling.
It was before the season. I remember Niners fans were angry with him. I think it was Deebo.
You're absolutely right, Connor and Bob, just about the impact Deebo Samuel has on this 49ers. Because, I mean, you saw last week, I think he's a big part of their game plan against Packers and him being out. They actually handed it off to a different wide receiver when they shouldn't have.
Connor said. It did not go as well as when he handed it off to Deebo.
Juwan Jennings came in for Deebo, and they audibled to a call that was meant for Deebo Samuel. I don't think they realized, or Brock Purdy didn't realize in his head that Juwan Jennings is in his place. It was like a handoff in the backfield or a toss play or something like that. It did not go well.
So
those are just little things that really, I mean, because he goes to the slot, he goes to the outside, he plays out of the backfield. He's an absolute beast.
That's the thing. You almost can't define him. I mean, that Jennings, he's right. A decent receiver, but he can't do all the stuff that Deebo does. I mean, he's
no way.
Deebo can do all kinds of crazy stuff, and he's so hard to tackle in space, you know.
This is a yak offense, yards after the catch. They just want to hit you over the middle, run with the ball, screens. The one exception might be George Kittle. They throw to him deep over the middle often, and that's, I believe, where the Lions really need to focus and hunker down. I'm fine with leaving Cam Sutton against Ayuk. Ayuk's been having a great year. But Ayuk is not up to the level of the CeeDee Lambs, Justin Jeffersons, the Mike Evans that he's been going up against. I don't see the Lions changing Cam Sutton playing him in man again this week, just leaving Sutton out on an island. Because I think he's due. I think Sutton's due for a great game.
Yeah, he came on in the second half last week. You know, he had a terrible first half and played better. The guy's a competitor, man. I like him out there.
Definitely. But the Lions got to tackle. They got to be sure tacklers this week. This is a team that, in the 49ers, that demands that you tackle them, especially in the open field. So the Lions are going to have their hands full, no doubt about it. Obviously, 7-point underdogs, and San Francisco has been the Super Bowl favorite all the year. Them and not, more them more so than even than the Ravens, actually. I believe.
Kind of surprises me that the Ravens aren't the favorite.
Right, including the 49ers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, the Ravens are the favorite or aren't?
They're the second best odds. Some people are speculating it's because they have to play the Chiefs and people think the Chiefs are better than the Lions. I don't think that.
The Chiefs have the devil's luck. They're just like You never know with a team like that. Mahomes will pull it out of his ass at some random point, and you're just like, what the? He's getting sacked going out of bounds. He's got Mahomes, one toe in it.
Mahomes six straight AFC championship game. Crazy.
I will say quickly on Mahomes, I think the Bills beat themselves more than Mahomes beat the Bills, but that's just my take on that game.
Say that again?
Josh Allen's hero ball didn't get it done.
I think the Bills beat themselves more than Mahomes beat the Bills. I think you could make a very compelling argument that the Bills should have won that game.
Yeah, I guess you could have. I mean, they were a field goal away from tying it and sending it to overtime.
Yeah,
they're just that team you can't count out, like kind of how the Patriots used to be. Like even when they don't look like they're as good, they've been winning championships.
Right. Well, that's what happens when you have a good quarterback.
Good coach, good team.
Good coach for sure.
Yep.
I think coaching's the big thing, the organization. And yeah, you got your star players, but they keep building up the rest of the team.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, so let's
we're doing now. Woo!
So let's go into the second half of our podcast here, which is our prediction segments. That is right, and we have our two world famous prediction segments. That is our roar of the week, and our predictions, our game predictions. So let's get into our roars of the week, and that is the player or coach that we think will have the biggest impact on the game overall. I think a lot of us picked some really good ones last week. Connor and Aaron Glenn, stunning our listeners.
Yeah.
Look at Larry.
The world was silent for a moment.
Yes.
I think Schefter even tweeted it out, Connor, your pick.
I believe it. Yeah. I told him beforehand I was going to do it. He might have.
And I think we had Iffy, Amon-Ra, Laporta, et cetera. So let's get into it now. Let's start with Rud Dog. I want your roar of the week.
All right. I think we've been calling for this guy a lot all season, but I think this is the game he's finally going to do it and blow the doors off of a team, and that is Jameson Williams, baby, Waymo.
All right.
He's going to finally go off. He's been having some real steady performances in recent weeks where – he's being where Goff wants him to be. They're really starting to sync up. He's running a more diverse route tree. I think he's about to just finally just tear apart and blow a game open for us and go off for 140 plus and 2 touchdowns. I think J-Mo is just going to be an X factor completely. And that's why he's my roar of the week.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. We'd love to see nothing more than that. He's capable of those numbers, 140 and 2. We know he is. We're waiting for it. We're waiting
so
for
exciting.
It. So desperately. All right, let's go to Connor.
Well, my roar of the week is Jahmyr Gibbs. I know we talked a lot about Christian McCaffrey. Now he's the best running back in the league. And I think that is true right now. But I think this is the game where Gibbs takes the mantle and just never surrenders the crown, at least like for the this. Next like decade. I think he's going to juke out a couple guys in the open field, rush for 145 yards, and two awesome. Touchdowns.
Big day.
Beautiful.
And the Bama boy is getting it done.
Yep. Wait, so Connor, that's your... Thank you.
Oh, that's my...
I'm sorry, is something stuck in your throat?
Did you not hear me at the beginning do the roar? Okay. I guess
is
I'll
this
do
roar
it
becoming a thing?
You, Big Z. That is my roar of the week. You get a bonus roar.
Well, this if there's ever time to have a bonus roar, it's this week, Connor.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, if UJ were here, he'd
very
call,
true.
Like, 20 people to get the roar of the week. So
yes.
He'd be roaring all over the place.
Yeah.
All right. Bob, who is going to the game as well, right? You're going to the game?
Yeah, my wife and I were lucky to be able to go to the game. We're going to be
how about it?
Enjoying that nice 70-degree weather, and we're sitting in one of the end zones. So that's it's awesome. Going to be fun.
Awesome. Goff is going to score on a quarterback sneak and throw you the ball.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping for. Or like Hutch get a strip sack and kick the ball in the stands, you know, pick it up. Yeah, so I'm so excited about this. This is the biggest game I've ever been to as a Lions fan, so I'm hyped. But, this game, you look at – with these kind of games, you look at matchups, you know, like our offensive line versus their defensive line. And then there's the matchups that aren't direct, like Goff versus Purdy. And I'm going to go with the matchup here with our tight ends, LaPorta versus Kittle. I think LaPorta is going to really shine into the bright lights here. Iowa tight end on the big stage, and he's looking good. He's got that knee that's tweaked, but he seems fine with it now. So I think he's going to have a big game. So LaPorta, at least 100 yards and a touchdown for LaPorta. So Samuel LaPorta is my roar of the week.
All right. Yeah. Beautiful. Love to hear it. All right. So let's go to producer Kid J. Who's your roar of the week?
My roar of the week is going to be also Jameson Williams. I think the Lions really need to attack the outside because I think the middle is going to be kind of closed off with Trey Greenlaw and Fred Warner running around the middle. So I think the outside passing attack is going to be really important. And I think Jameson Williams is going to get a couple big plays and a touchdown, probably like I say, like 100 yards and a touchdown. And he's my roar of the week.
All right, that's two for J-Mo, and I love the J-Mo love. I think a lot of us are, I mean, this is where they can be exposed outside.
Yeah.
Man, please, just go off, J-Mo. We want to see it at the biggest stage. Awesome. They're at least going to throw them once, if not twice deep, definitely on these cornerbacks. And they're going to see speed like they've never seen before, especially on grass. J-Mo played in grass in college. I think he excels on grass. So, anyways, my roar of the week. I was stuck between two people. I'll tell you a second after I say my roar. I'm going to go with Aleem McNeil. I don't think we give him enough love and appreciation. I know Red Dog said that he's like the number one remaining D tackle, but I just really want to highlight Aleem McNeil here. He's had an awesome playoffs. What a just a year in general, too. What a step up from year two to year three. It just, again, it speaks to what the Lions have built here and the patience and their belief in their draft picks and their process come to fruition. Aleem McNeil is like the essence of that in a lot of ways. The way he's just grown in front of our eyes as a player. I think it all going to culminate here. The guards are okay. They're good in run defense, the San Francisco guards. I think they're slightly vulnerable in the past, so I see Aleem McNeil. He's getting 1.5 sacks, but really disruptive in the run game is where we need him to be. And it might not even show up in the stats in the box score or whatever, because I think he's going to be dealing with a lot of double teams, take him on soundly to free up Jack Campbell and Anzalone. I forgot to mention Anzalone playing with a broken rib. I forgot to mention that as well in the injuries. I love these guys. So Aleem McNeil is my roar of the week. Beautiful. Those are all right. Roar of the Weeks. UJ, maybe we'll insert it later in the podcast or not, but I don't know. But he did not send it to us.
I'm going to guess his was Jack Campbell.
That's a good one. That's a good filler in for him.
There you go.
I like it.
That is a good one.
Shut down Christian McCaffrey all by himself.
All right. So let's get to the last part. The most important part, of course, is the predictions.
Mm-hmm.
For the NFC Championship that the Lions are playing in. They're playing the NFC Championship. We didn't already mention it 20 times.
Once more, please.
The Lions are playing in the NFC Championship game, baby. Ooh. Let's go. 7-point underdogs, 50.5 is the over-under, 70 degrees, beautiful weather, 3-mile-per-hour winds. Bob, what is your prediction when you look up at that scoreboard in whatever the field's name is?
Levi's Stadium.
Oh, it's still Levi's? Okay. Levi's Stadium. Is it a blue scoreboard for the jeans? Or actually, their logo's red and white, right?
Yeah. I'm not
anyways,
sure
what is that scoreboard going to say?
But, the scoreboard there, I think this is going to be a great game. The Lions have been drawing in killer ratings, and that's because they're a hell of a fun team to watch. I think that's going to happen this week, too. We're going to break some more records ratings-wise. It's going to be funny because San Francisco, they've been, like, good for years now. And the Lions are going to come out of nowhere and punch them in the mouth and take that NFC Championship game and go to the Super Bowl. So I like this game. I think it's going to be really exciting. Be a lot of points scored. I see the Lions winning 34-27. It's going to be a tight game, but Lions are going to pull it out. And Goff's going to look good. We're going to have splash plays on defense and a lot of offense. So, 34-27 Lions. It's my prediction.
I love it. We love it. Wow. High-scoring game. 61 points scored. That would be wildly entertaining just from even a casual fan to watch. So, 34-27. That's Bob's prediction. Let's go to Rud Dog.
You know, I got to agree, Bob. I don't think San Fran's going to know what hit them. I don't think they have a good sense of who we are, who the Lions are, what we're capable of. And I think we're going to come into that town and just rip it out of their freaking chest. I think this defense is going to continue to be disruptive. I think Jared Goff, I'm on defense. Hutchinson is going to be incredibly disruptive and just make it really, along with McNeiler, they're just going to make it very hard for San Fran to fall into a rhythm. And I think they're going to limit them to one touchdown. I think they're going to get a bunch of yards, but they're going to stop them. A touchdown, and because out of respect, I think they'll also get a field goal. A touchdown and a field goal for San Francisco. That's, you know, maybe the most I've given to anybody this year. So just to show how much I respect them. But I just think we're going to, like, triple that. And we're going to get more than triple that. I think it's going to be 34-10. Detroit's just going to take care of business. We're going to be more violent, more disruptive on defense. Our offense is going to handle their supreme front seven and just pick them apart methodically. Jared Goff's going to do his thing. J-Mo's going to do his thing. Gibbs, Montgomery. It's just going to go off. So
are they going to do their
Detroit
thing?
Baby. Yes. Wait, who?
Okay, just making sure.
Yeah.
That was your most grounded prediction yet.
Wait, so say your final score again?
34-10, Detroit Lions.
Whoa! You're with an under?
Oh, no.
Oh, wow. Wow. That is respect. That is respect. All right. 34-10. Rud Dog. That's a believable score. All right.
All my scores have been believable.
Yeah, oh, that's true. You're right.
Not really. Yeah.
I think all I was right every time. What are you talking about?
Connor.
All right. For my prediction, I think it's going to be a very close back and forth game. I think the Lions are going to win the toss. It's going to be tails, and they're going to receive. Ooh. And I think these teams are going to trade shots back and forth all game. I think it's going to be 31-28 Lions, and with 20 seconds to go, you know I wanted him. Jake Moody is going to attempt a 54-yard field goal.
Ooh.
That is blocked.
Ooh.
And we will be celebrating like we've never celebrated before. 31-28, final score. That is my prediction. Oh, I didn't think this far ahead.
Can I give you a name? Benito Jones.
Yeah, sure. Ooh, what do you think, Clark? Sure, Benito can block it, yeah.
All right. I love it. I know our listeners love it, too. So that's three for the Lions. Let's go to producer Kid J. What's your prediction?
I think it's going to be a pretty tight game. It's going to be really close, and the Lions are going to win in a tight one, 24-21.
Ooh.
That is my prediction.
Okay.
Nice.
24-21. That goes under. All right. Well, we love it. That's four now for the Lions. All right. So this is the most iconic. This is going to be arguably the most important game in Detroit Lions history. Probably more important than the championship games in the 50s, because the NFL is just way more popular now. Just means more to the general public at large, especially to the city of Detroit. And it's like everything else in Detroit Lions history leading up to this point. It's not going to be easy. I think we're going to go through a lot of ups and downs in this game. It's going to just absolutely like test my health at every regard and aspect. Kind of like the Rams game did to me to a certain degree in the fourth quarter. But man, I think this is going to be a late score for the Lions to take the victory. I think they go for two to win 28-27.
Oh, man.
It's going to be a tight one, but they get the victory and go to the Super Bowl, and it's going to be that two-point conversion or however. There's going to be some sort of highlight near the end of the game where the Lions
score is going to be
played over and over again throughout the rest of our lives.
Do you think they throw it to Zach?
No, I don't think that. I don't think that. I hope they don't throw it to James Mitchell. Well, he's hurt, thank God, but like a yard short of the end zone either.
Yeah. What's your final score again?
28-27 Lions.
Ooh. Hey, Z, when the Lions last won the NFL championship in 1957, they had to go through San Francisco to get to Cleveland. They won that one 31-27, so very similar score.
Oh, wow.
And that Cleveland franchise is now the Ravens.
Yeah, there you go.
Could
oh, the who they beat in the championship, you mean?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because this weekend is Baltimore's first time ever hosting AFC championship, too. Since the Baltimore Ravens, I should say. They haven't hosted the AFC championship since they were the Colts.
Interesting.
So that's interesting, too. But either way, everybody on this panel, including our producer.
Hey, UJ sent me his.
Oh, he just sent it. Okay. All right. I love a
he
lion.
Said, the Lions win 192-0.
I'm guessing this is Red Dogs.
And
that was Red Dogs' initial prediction. Are you sure are you sure your prediction was a new Jays? And
Goff throws for 34 touchdowns.
It's so sneaky how you tried to get your own prediction.
I don't know what you're talking about.
UJ.
Okay, maybe I did something.
All right. So, well, there you have it. Everybody with a prediction for a Lions victory. And then we go to the Super Bowl. Let's go.
So what are you boys doing? Like I said, I'm going to the game. What are you guys doing to watch it? What's your plans? You going to be at a bar, be at a family group, or what are you guys doing?
Yeah, family group for me. I can't speak for Connor or Red Dog, though.
I'm having some friends over. It's just a bit of a hike to get down to
probably watching
down there. But
Bro Dog, you gonna go to live in Vegas? Are you gonna go to a sports book? Are you watching at home? What are you doing?
I don't know. It depends. I might be watching it at work on my phone.
He'll be standing outside outside the appliance store, looking through the window. You know, the TVs.
Yes, that's my preferred method, but we'll see.
Actually, that sounds better than walking on your phone around work, watching. So,
yeah,
I don't know.
Hey, you're in Vegas. You should sneak into the game there, or win for the Super Bowl.
Super Bowl, or climb to the top of the stadium and peek through the glass at the top of the stadium.
Yeah,
We got a late entry from from UJ for real this time.
Oh, dang, here it is. My lie is exposed.
Goff is his roar of the week. He throws, well, it says three touchdowns. It doesn't say running or passing. I'm going to assume two passing, one running.
Let's assume a rushing.
Oh, wow.
Let's assume three rushing.
And then Lions win 31-30 in a nail biter. So me and UJ both with 1 point Lions victories. That's awesome. Michael Badgley to send it to the Super Bowl for the Lions. Probably in that scenario. Awesome.
Yeah, make sure you guys got your heart monitors for that game.
A couple other cool things I forgot to mention. The Lions sold out Ford Field, at least the lower portion, within like an hour or two to just watch the game at Ford Field.
Watch party.
That's pretty cool. So I'm not sure how many the lower portion holds. I'm not even sure if it's the whole lower portion.
I think it would do it at one side of the lower bowl, but.
Like okay. A U-shape.
They should just keep opening up. Just have the whole stadium full, and everybody's like as loud as a jet engine, even though no players on the field.
Yeah, right.
So that was really cool. There's also like multiple theaters throughout like Michigan that are like selling or like playing the game, and movie theaters are like selling out for people to go watch the game.
That's pretty cool.
That's really cool too. Yeah, it's unbelievable. And Aaron Glenn and Ben Johnson both had second interviews with the Falcons this week. But it seems like as long as the Commanders aren't hiring anybody, Ben Johnson is likely going to Washington whenever the Lions season ends, which is most likely after the Super Bowl. So that's the other part I wanted to mention.
And not Lions, but Jim Harbaugh is leaving Michigan to go to Chargers.
Yeah.
So that's interesting.
Yeah, how do you feel about that, Bob and Connor?
Well, as a Michigan fan, I'm not happy about it, but I am not surprised either. It looked like he was going to go. So, yeah,
they got the Natty, which honestly
right.
blocked.
They got
out
the
all
Natty, so
me,
I'll be living off
you know?
That for a while.
Well, it seemed like their big sticking point was like
it'll be
some sort of like panel that would vote because he's expecting like some punishment from the NCAA, and then likely another suspension, and he didn't. And he wanted to make sure he had, like, job assurance or something. It was a really weird thing with Michigan. The NCAA, I just don't think he wants to deal with the NCAA anymore either.
Yeah, I agree.
I think that's what it is, too. And the Chargers
sure
offered
did.
Him a boatload
sure
of money.
Did. So, that, yeah,
he
I mean, he's won everywhere he's gone,
sure.
Even if he rubs some people the wrong way.
yeah. Like Jim Schwartz?
No, like Pat Patricia more so, like. Rubbing like
I was thinking of their handshake, the Jim Schwartz.
What are you thinking of? See,
the Lions,
I was thinking Jim of like Schwartz ownership and stuff. Like Jim Harbaugh sometimes doesn't always get along, but this Chargers owner compared to like the 49ers owner is like super hands off. So it, definitely a different situation, but anyways, that should be interesting. But this is the year of the Harbaugh's coaching, that's for sure. Jim Harbaugh in the national championship and John Harbaugh one went away.
Do we get one once every 10 years? Because that was it not the year of the Harbaughs when they were in the Super Bowl facing each other as well?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, enough of that. Enough of the Harbaughs.
Yeah. What the hell? Why did we even start talking about that, Jim?
It's the Campbell year.
That's right.
That's right.
The year of Dan. MCDC, yes, baby.
Well, all right. That's going to wrap it up for us here. If you have your roar of the week or a prediction, send it in to Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid on Instagram. That's at Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid. Twitter/X at Drinking Lions. Our Gmail, Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid at gmail.com. YouTube, subscribe on there. I'm sure we'll try our best to have a live stream after the game on Sunday. Reacting to the game. It's going to be so fun. On YouTube, it's at DTBK. Or just type in Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid. You should be able to easily find us. Subscribe to get notified when our live stream goes, or just check out our old videos. Thank you to our producer, Kid J.
Kid J.
Kid J. Crushing it every single week of the season.
Per week.
Especially this year, where we've had a few extra weeks and probably 8 more episodes. Minimum with this insane playoff run. So Thank you, producer Kid J, for crushing it. And thank you to SidelineReport.com for supporting the podcast. Otherwise, Apple, Spotify, wherever your podcast, please download, please subscribe, please leave a review. We greatly appreciate that. Otherwise, stay tuned after the game Sunday. Hopefully live stream. If not, we'll have a pod out ready to go on Monday. So thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a great weekend. Enjoy watching this historic, historic moment for the Detroit Lions.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's going to be a very special, special weekend. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And last but not least, as always, go!
Go!
Down the field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, 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 go hard, win the game. With honor you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain a Lions victory.
Go!
Credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.